This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. It's good evening from London.
And great to close out the month, the quarter with you, Johnny. This was rather a difficult quarter for risky assets, and looking forward to diving in with you.
Yes, we're going to talk more about oil's first quarterly drop since 2020 shortly. But first, I wanted to ask you about these inflation figures, which are interesting. It's the Federal Reserve's preferred gauge, isn't it, this number? And it shows that prices have accelerated even more than expected in August. Tell us about it.
Yes, this was a rather surprisingly hot report. I think, there's been a lot of expectations that, August data was going to show some more significant steps in providing pricing relief. And clearly that's not happening. And what was surprising is that when you take a look at the core component, that came in much hotter than expected. So it's pretty clear that, the Fed's mission is going to be easily justified in remaining aggressive against fighting inflation. You also saw, alongside that data, personal income and spending data supported the idea that the consumer is still in a good position. Spending came in a little bit better than expected. Personal incomes rose at a steady pace. So you're still seeing that this economy should be prepared to continue to see these massive rate increases, and I think what we've been getting from the Fed is they're signaling that higher rates for longer are going to be the way markets are going to have to evolve, and that's troubling news for risky assets, for startups, for there's so many companies that that have loans that have financing costs that are about to skyrocket, and that's very troubling. And I think, the market was up, it was down, and now it seems that we're also trying to digest some of the other data points where you've seen a PMI, a regional PMI reading for Chicago, plunge into contraction territory, and then what's the one bright spot from today was that University of Michigan sentiment report where they provide the inflation expectations. That one eased a little bit. Longer term inflation expectations eased. For 1 year, it went up. So what basically I think the key takeaway is that you're going to see that the short end of the curve is going to continue to climb higher. It's been the easy trade over the past few couple months, and I think you're going to see the Fed have to take interest rates to above where inflation is, and that's probably going to mean that 75 basis points in November. And I think the market's anticipating a half point in December, but we're going to have to be data dependent on that. If inflation still remains as hot and doesn't show any signs that it's about to significantly ease, the Fed could maintain that 75 stance in December. So I think there's still a lot more tightening that can happen as this occurs. We're seeing economic pain across Wall Street. We're seeing companies announce layoffs. Companies are reining in their guidance and outlooks. I think that, and it's wide. It's across several sectors. So I think that the amount of pessimism in the markets is elevated, and long-term investors still, they're committed to holding their positions, but the question is, how much lower do we go? Is it another 5-10%? And some people are even eyeing more. But I think we're getting close to the bottom, but we're probably going to see short term more selling pressure here for equities.
And with the price of oil going down in recent weeks, in a way, I'm surprised, or perhaps that hadn't seeped through yet. We're looking at the numbers of Brent crude and WTI at the moment, Ed, and they're significantly lower than they were 2 or 3 months ago. Could that have an impact on inflation numbers to come?
Definitely. And I think that energy prices are key. But what we're you know, for August, I think it's important. And as you bring up energy prices, you know, oil actually rose in August. It was kind of steady, but it was slightly higher. And you know, we've seen the big drop in September. And now you're probably going to see that the oil market, though, is there's still limited spare capacity. You're also going to see refiners are going to struggle in this environment. There's been outages in the West Coast. You have a hurricane that is going to impact a lot of flows. So this market's going to remain tight. Next week, you're going to have OPEC Plus. That's probably going to remain very aggressive with slashing output.
And not forgetting politically, Ed, if you look at what's happening with what Vladimir Putin has just announced, we've got the troubles in Iran at the moment. That will not help, will it, in terms of keeping that price down?
No, and I think that's it's a great point to bring up, because the markets, you know, I think the expectations for the war in Ukraine were things were going to intensify and get more nerve-wracking, and I think that you're going to see that, you know, all the ammunition that Russia has with the impact of their energy supplies, you know, it's waning, because, you know, the rest of the world is finding alternative sources. There's not enough spare capacity to reach the Russian output, but their efforts to get there. So this is the key moment. So I think there was always this belief, and the market has priced in a good amount of the loss of Russian supplies. And I think, you know, we talked in June, July, I think Iran nuclear deal talks, they've kind of, the base case has always been that, you know, they get closer, but, you know, a deal would not be reached. And it seems that that's still likely the case. And you're probably going to see that. I think for crude, the more important driver abroad is going to be China. And China's demand is probably going to improve. There's been a lot of progress, I think, with the government stepping up the stimulus efforts, saving the housing market. And I think you're going to see more accommodation from the PBOC. But what's even more important is the zero COVID policy. I think that you're going to see that China might get their hands on some mRNA vaccines. So there's optimism that China's COVID situation is poised to improve significantly, you know, later this year. And if that's the case, then, you know, that strong, robust Chinese demand could send oil $10 higher. It's just a domino effect that improves global growth outlooks and everything else. So I think that the risks are that oil is going to remain a volatile trade. Are there risks that oil could, you know, head down towards $70 again? Or break the recent lows and hit the $70 level for WTI. Yes, is that the base case scenario? Far from it. I think that we're probably going to see oil trade 85-95. That might be the range that comes about. But right now, I think, you know, this oil market is still tight, and unless we're dealing with a severe global recession for, you know, all the major advanced economies, then I might change my outlook for oil. But it seems that there's still too many bullish catalysts in place.
Let's talk about Bitcoin now, Ed, and bucking the trend. It's been quite resilient recently. Do you think that Wall Street now believes that crypto is close to the bottom of the market?
Right now, it seems that there's been an easing of that correlation with tech stocks. Bitcoin has really outperformed. You're seeing long-term investment remains committed to crypto, whereas right now and for mega cap tech, you're seeing Apple get a major downgrade. There's questions and concerns about that product cycle, and I think what you're seeing, also, Meta is also a it's some consider it still a mega cap tech stock, but that one's got a plethora of problems. There's now this belief that you're going to see equities really trade on the company-specific fundamentals, and that your the one-way trade is going to be broken up soon. And I think that a lot of that has to deal with the peak in Fed tightening is close to being priced in. I think that there's a lot of confidence that the global economic slowdown is going to impact the U.S. and that you're going to see that stocks are going to have a very difficult environment ahead. The Fed is not going to be pivoting immediately, and that's probably why you see more people talk about S&P 500, potentially falling another 10%, where no one is really talking about, crypto breaking below the summer lows right now. The long-term money has really showed that it's not going anywhere and it hasn't budged. There were multiple times when I thought that you could make the argument that the risks to the outlook warranted that because there was just so much doom and gloom everywhere, and now it looks like you've seen some progress with regulation. I think there's been this approach, slow approach, which is not going to shake up stablecoins just yet. So I think you're in an environment where there's still a lot more investments piling into Bitcoin and Ethereum especially. And what's fascinating is that, if you take a look at what are some of the key stories, BlackRock, they're still planning another crypto ETF, and that's after, a poor debut of their first one. You have Meta opening up their NFT sharing on Instagram and Facebook, so you're going to see more easy access to crypto assets and crypto-related products. You've had Robinhood launch their self-custody wallets, and you have the Nasdaq, which is also looking poised to provide more crypto solutions. So there's still a steady flow of interest and commitment going into crypto, and that's probably why we're still, looking at Bitcoin, just a few hundred points below 20,000. So if we get close to a stock market bottom, you'll probably already see Bitcoin take off before then. So it'll be interesting to see if the markets get a little bit eager and try to do that before that becomes the scenario. And I think that Bitcoin is still probably poised to be in a range for at least the next month or two, but you never know. Sometimes with crypto, if things start continuing to go in its direction and in its favor, then you could see that momentum buying really come in because the retail money has been dormant and that's been on the sideline. So this is a market. I mean, it's lost $2 trillion in market cap. The interest is still there, the belief in it is still there, and that's going to be a very interesting trade going into year end.
Okay, Ed, very interesting indeed. Before we let you go, can we look ahead to the next week or so, and what would be your highlights for the next 7 days?
For me, it's all about the Conservative Party's autumn conference. I think we're going to hear speeches from Prime Minister Liz Truss, the Chancellor, and also several other officials, and that's the scene. Do they remain committed to their budget plan? That's going to be, key driver for the British pound, and lately that's what's been moving markets, and especially the gilt markets. And I think you're going to see that the focus on politics, elections are still important. Brazil has a very important presidential election also, so it's a busy week with politics. In the beginning of the month, Monday, we'll get all those manufacturing PMI readings. It's one of my favorite days because you get to see which countries are, how far are they falling into contraction territory, or are they headed there. So that's going to be a key one. There's once again another week filled with Fed speak. I won't bore you with when and how many. I think there's three main rate decisions that I have my eye on. RBA expected to raise rates by a half point. A week ago, if you would ask me, I would have said it would probably be a quarter point. So it seems that central banks are just kind of rethinking downshifts and tightening. New Zealand also expected to raise by a half point on Wednesday. And then also we'll hear from the Polish Central Bank. They already have rates pretty elevated there, and this time they're looking for a quarter point increase to 7%. For commodity traders, OPEC Plus meets in the middle of the week. That is a big meeting. Expectations are all over the place, possibly cutting production by 500,000 barrels per day, or some expecting 1 million barrels. So that's going to be important. And then we finish off the week with the non-farm payroll report, which this labor market remains strong, and we're looking to see, does this NFP report confirm that 250,000 jobs are expected to be created? Any miss, any surprise? If we ever got whenever we get that first negative reading, that will be cheered on Wall Street. It will make many think that the true dubs of the Fed will want to, quickly put an end to this tightening cycle. I think that all the leading indicators still support job growth. I think there's still risks that we could get surprised to the upside, but a very important report, and wages too. That's also probably be even more important for the inflationary impact, and that will be how we finish out next week. So definitely a busy week. There's a lot of second-tier data, but those are the key highlights. Also, I have German industrial production on Friday as well.
Excellent stuff. Thanks very much, Ed. Have a very good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
This is the Oanda Podcast.